Okay, well, the citizen lobbyist is here.
And she looks ready.
She is ready. Okay.
Boy, I don't know how you follow that act. That's one of my heroes. I'll be first in line this afternoon, dude.
Oh, good.
Get one of his books and talk to him. He's I lived in Anchorage when he was editor of that newspaper, and he is one amazing guy, and I'm really looking forward to reading that book. Well, it's been a full agenda this week, and it's not over yet.
Okay.
Monday started out with the Assembly formally receiving the budget overview, the department overviews from Manager Moosey on what they can expect in the borough budget this year. He started out by letting them know that it was going to be a little change-up in the way it was normally presented. Of course, Mr. Moosey came on board just shortly after, before last budget, but he was not officially in charge of the last year's budget. So there was a lot of scurrying around, apparently, Monday morning on how this was going to be presented. And the old model was to have people come in from each department, had a lot of papers and a PowerPoint about their departments, and went through it, took kind of an arduous time getting through all of the information. Staff was there to answer questions from the Assembly. And this year they decided internally to do something a little differently, and that was Mr. Moosey took charge early in the meeting. He let them know that the Assembly members were to please hold their questions until after all the presentations. He gave them little cards, index cards, and asked them to please write their questions down as they thought of them and give them to him, and he would get back to them with each and every question and what an answer was. As somebody who has seen the budget process a couple times, I have to say I was a little skeptical of that. Worried me a little bit that people wouldn't be asking a lot of questions, but as it proceeded, it turned out to be kind of a good format. It was a lot more succinct, a lot easier to understand, I thought. And we'll just have to see how it comes out as it's received. I did have a little discussion with Mr. Moosey and told him how important it was that I thought that it would be that it be put on his presentation by the departments, the slideshow that they did, PowerPoint, be put on the borough website, much like the school district does, so that people can see what was said. Of course, you know, have these things 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday. As you might imagine, there wasn't a great crowd of people there, and this is how we run the borough. This is the checkbook. So we'll see. He sounded very encouraging that he would have something up on the borough website. I haven't seen it yet, but we'll see. So he just basically went through, told them that, you know, it's the most important legislative action they were going to take, and he talked about the priorities. There's a longer list of priorities for the borough. Port has a lot of its own things on there. The rail, the Sutton Library, there's Kabata having a bridge. There's lots of priorities that they've worked on, and he went through them and listed them for them. He talked a little bit about the trends, about the population. We're at 91,697 people. He thinks we're on a healthy growth pattern. The expectation is about 111,000 by 2020. He thinks we will exceed that, but that's what the people that do those sort of things tell him. There's $7.9 trillion in assessed values in borough property. And then he right away up front said that the funding for education, that the school board had come and asked for local contribution on education at 3%, he was recommending in his budget for approval. And this is kind of unique, too. That's sort of a dance that's done as the budget proceeds. He was right up front in including in the budget. Now, of course, these are just his recommendations. They can shake out however it is, but he had kept the line on the budget, a flat budget, so to speak, for the borough, including that 3% with his own cuts, and he's seeking their approval.
What is that 3%?
For the school, it's increase in the local match over last year for the school district.
For 3% over the local match.
Okay. Over what they did last year. So he said he threw in a few things like, you know, that the average tax bill in the borough based on average house is about $3,500 a year. That's, of course, with the mill rates and the FSAs, RSAs, fire service areas, road service areas, and any bonding that we're doing. So he went through that pretty good. They had the economic development director. They have a new person on board. He talked a lot about the importance. He just got on the job, but he already sees that we're lacking a master plan, that we need to, you know, we could go down that road where we're open ourselves to some economic dangers down there. If we become somewhere like Pittsburgh and we have all steel mills or all auto manufacturing, so we need to diversify. We need to have goals, but, you know, that are realistic. He talked a little bit about how we need to break away from that stereotype of the valley trash and Natsu Yahoos and start to pull in and coordinate these different organizations like the Chamber, the Natsu Business Association. They're all spinning their wheels, but he wants to try to get them in unison. And he again, twice, talked about a master development plan for sustainable growth. And of course, this is all stuff kind of that was in the strategic economic plan that the borough adopted a couple of years ago that is sitting on the shelf there. So it's kind of that playbook back. So we'll see where that goes. They introduced a gentleman by the name of Don Grimes, who is going to – they've hired, contracted to help the assembly go through the budget, sort of a third set of eyes. I believe he was on board last year at the mayor's request as well. I believe he lives out of state, but he's going to be here back as they work on the budget.
Okay.
Animal Care spoke a little bit, talked about we have 1,000 hours of volunteer service every month in Animal Care. That's pretty significant in a community our size.
Yeah.
They had a Division of Planning and Land Use talked a lot about their area. This one is one of the areas that has been sort of people have thought that will probably be one of the areas if there are cuts that will probably be cut, that this assembly up to this point hasn't wanted to utilize planning any very much. So we will see where that goes. They talked about culture resources. We only have one full-time staff person in this department. It's quite understaffed, has been. They have a lot of turnover, temporary staff there with different projects, and that, in the end, of course, costs us money. They have one person in environmental division. She's trying to, you know, get grants, get out there, educate the public, work with the other departments. That's an amazingly big job. Community development talked about their operating budget was less than 1% increase over last year. They, you know, of course, oversee libraries. They have a tremendous workload. They also work in conjunction with the Land and Resource Management, which is half its original size now. They support a lot of different divisions in there. So there's no, and they also do a really important function where they act as a liaison for community support, and everybody wants a little bit of work on their different. There's some SPUDs out there. Meadow Lakes has been working for quite some time on a special land use district. Community councils want input. People want different updates or new comp plans. So this is where that falls on these shoulders, and they are pretty understaffed as well. They also oversee rec services. That means all the pools. They oversee all that. They'd like to have a pool manager just because that's a heavily used resource. We only have a couple of them in the borough. She talks about some budget impacts, you know, of course, what happens with the bed taxes. The Talkeetna Library now wants to expand. They got a little money from the legislature, but there's going to be a demand for that. So there's a lot of projects in the CIP list under consideration that will fall under that. They've hired a new, this was a temporary director, Marion Romano, who was assistant manager a couple of years ago, came in to do a little fill-in. They've had a lot of changes in department heads, and they now have apparently hired somebody for that position who will be on board shortly, and she'll be exiting again. Public Works, of course, has a huge plate of tasks out there with the they will be the head department on this $215 million school bond that we passed, as well as the road bonds. Now that the legislature unless there is some veto pen involved by the governor, has authorized the $64 million in road bonds, which they will pay half of to go up. So we have an enormous amount of projects out there which will fall under this one. They have a new pre-design department, which was new in 2012. They're doing a lot more in-house designing. They talked a little bit about their the service areas. We'll get to that a little bit later, but they've had some a lot of work they've had to do on their road contracts. Of course, this was a huge snow year, so that was increased demands on that division just to administer all of that. Solid waste. They took a little break at that point, and then they came back and talked to the port director. Same port director has been there for quite some time now. They talked about the ferry landings. They're still waiting for federal approval or trying to work something out with Ship Creek. They think that they've got a public notice for a permit now. They have to update the EIS there, which is going to take some time.
Environmental impact statement.
Right. Sorry. It was just going to take a little bit of time. They want to put another new dock in. They talked about the future of that dock and what it could be used for, primarily coal. They talked about some new leases out there that they're working on. They he had quite a extensive presentation about the port. Of course, that's one of this assembly's big focus areas. We've put a lot of money in the port. Haven't seen a lot of return up to this point. And so they're, of course, wanting to make sure the public knows what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
They had quite a talk about from IT. That's another huge priority of a couple of members of this this assembly. There's very little that they don't touch in some way at the borough. They're bringing on this what they call a LIDAR program. They've gotten some federal funding for, which is kind of an enhanced Google mapping service, which is a huge difference in what they currently have. And that's going to take some expertise and some money, and but they've gone down. They're getting very close to having that the data finalized in that. It's very important that that be correct. It's will be a lot. They'll depend upon that for a lot of different activities.
Mm-hmm. Everything I mentioned, from flood hazard to just planning in general.
Right.
Yeah.
They did say that, you know, they brought up right up front that we're where the lower 48 was in the late 80s as far as technology goes. And if we, you know, it's our decision whether we finance the department and the changes to make it, or it could take us 8 to 10 years to catch up. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be some demands on what they need. We have the same phone system we had in 2004. It's an old PBX system. Frustrates people trying to work with the borough, limits what they can do. It's kind of a patch quilt. They want to take that on. That presentation from emergency services, of course, that's a big one. They have 52% of the employees are on-call responders, and that's a huge turnover position. A lot of those they take a lot of training. There's a increase in activity in some, so they have to train up a lot. It's a huge deal, and they always have a pretty comprehensive list of what they want to do. They want to increase the ambulance fee 6.4% to cover some costs there. They want to hire a airport or an air medical transportation consultant so that they can get that service. They've apparently contracted to a couple different people for that, and it hasn't always been the service that they wanted, so they want a little expertise on that. The next up was the finance director, Tammy Clayton, and she talked about the bonding and all of the work that department's doing. They've been asking for another person in assessments for 4 years, and that, of course, is hugely important in that we kind of need to know what we got out there and what it's assessed at, because the mill rate's, based on what we have there.
Right.
So they've had a big increase in overtime because of their short staffing, and they're of course, like everybody else before them, in a critical stage as far as manpower. The attorney office didn't have too much to say. He's basically 90% of his budget is his own, and there's four attorneys on board. So they keep busy, and he's kind of keeping the lid on his budget as well. So that was kind of the works of it. The last kind of cleanup person was human resources, and, of course, her job was to let everybody know what the costs were, because it's an intense employee operation over there. She talked about the increases in health care, the increases of what the cost of turnover is, and hiring new people, and what temporary people cost. And I thought she made a pretty darn good presentation of I've not seen it this comprehensive before. And she also went through and gave them the news that they needed more people, that there was going to be a request in the budget for 30 new positions. And a lot of them are spread over the IT department. There's people, they need more people in human resources for training and compliance. That's a huge area of litigation, so they want to get that right. So she went over what those particular positions would be. So that was kind of it. That was kind of enough.
But that was Monday.
That was just Monday. Yeah, really.
Yes.
I mean, who else can have this much fun, right?
Oh, I know. And we might have to invite you back to finish up the rest of the week.
There's
so much happened. But what happened with the inventory tax on...
Okay. Yeah, we'll come back. We should probably come back and talk about the subdivision code that was adopted.
Right.
That was one meeting that started at 2 o'clock yesterday.
Right. A lot of detail there.
Right. A lot of detail there. And then the inventory tax was in the regular meeting that started at 6 o'clock to a pretty packed office. And I think the important things to glean from that, and we'll go back and drill it down a little bit. Let me talk about elections, because you talked about that earlier.
Right. Okay.
City of Palmer, clerk showed up, City of Wasilla, they talked about their angst in doing this, the cost of the city.
And this is changing the election to November so that it would be combined
the
with
state.
The state
right.
election.
And so they went over a lot of information you pointed out earlier, and in addition that Palmer would have to have a charter change, which would require a vote.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, that went down. But it basically got punted because they want some more information on that. They would like the manager to set up a meeting with the other cities to see really what the impact is. Assemblymember Culligan is very clear that he would like to see that change, but it wasn't going to happen last night. That was pretty clear too.
Well, sigh of relief from the clerk's office.
They do an amazing job. The inventory tax came up, and it was pointed out pretty early that Anchorage collects inventory tax from businesses on everything over $20,000. Our ceiling is $250,000, which would seemingly be pretty incentive in itself to come out here and do
work.
So
what is our floor?
Floor is, well, anything over $250,000.
Okay, you said ceiling. I'm just,
sorry.
Okay.
There is no ceiling. I don't know if it's the ceiling or the floor after the last couple of hours. Sorry. And Mr. Halter asked why Anchorage was higher than ours, and they said, well, you know, because that's where the people are and they can get that. But they want to do some little work on that, some more. They think there should be some type of an incentive to bring businesses out there. Mr. Culligan thinks that we are the perfect place for a lot of warehouse business, he wants to see that incentify in there. So they've continued that to time certain of May 15th. They want the Economic Division or Development Director to do some more work on that and bring it back. Right after that was the business licenses. These are both legislation that the mayor has brought forward.
Mm-hmm.
He is quite convinced that we should do this dropping of the inventory tax. The repealing of the business licenses, that was brought forward by him, by the mayor as well. Mr. Culligan actually brought up right away that, they just don't get anything for that business, for that money, and we should be giving them something for that business. But after all was said and done, we can drill into that later. They postponed that as well to May 15th.
Okay.
So
what about the monies?
Go ahead.
What about the monies for the Academy Charter School?
Oh, yeah, that was a lot of testimony, as you might expect. There was a lot of testimony, and in the end, there was some questions asked by one assembly member. The rest, it was all pretty much, yeah, we should do this. And, they did get it. They received their funding for that. It was a good week for Academy Charter. They received $2 million in the governor's or in the legislative budget, subject, of course, to veto by the governor. And then an additional almost $300,000 from the assembly, which they've taken out of school site selection committee, which is set up for lands, basically. But there's some wiggle room in there, accordingly. So, yes, that did go through. One other issue that's really boiling, let me just touch on really quick, is the road service area. They are redrafting all the contracts with the road service areas. There's been a lot of problems. They've got a real disparity in the way it's done. There's some contractors that just are amazingly good in areas, and there's some that are not so good. And they've had to pull a couple contracts this year and bring in other contractors. And it is problematic. They had a lot of testimony on it last night. People as far away as Talkeetna came to speak about it. It wasn't on this agenda, but it's on their radar because all the contractors have been given new contracts. Some of them are feeling punished because they've done a good job, and they, you know, were counting on this renewal of it, and they've got an investment there, and they think it's kind of unfair. There was a lot of mentioning that the non-performing road contractors got paid, and besides having someone else come in and do their job, and there's a little disparity. So there were, you know, people that had been doing this kind of work for 30 years, pretty heavy hitters in that line of work, and I think you'll see that come back again. So that is, I'll save the ferries and all that other stuff for later. And tonight is a school board meeting. I just want to put that in. Of course, Radio Free Palmer will be live streaming it. They have what looks like a short agenda, but they have some discussion on there about the seven-period day. And I think you might see a little surprising there. But the school district did give a report. They were glowing last night. They were the recipient of pretty generous, not everything they wanted from the legislature, but better than they kind of had hoped for at the middle of the session. It made them whole. They are not going to have a deficit this year. They don't have to lay anybody off, and they got their issue with the health insurance rectified, and they're holding the cost on that to zero this year. So there was some pretty good news from the school district that Dr. Parmo presented very well, and I'm sure she'll speak well to that tonight.
So we will also have, in addition to streaming that meeting tonight, we will have up a little later today both the early meeting from the assembly chambers yesterday at 2 p.m. That people can listen to, as well as the 6 o'clock meeting. We'll have them up, and then the arrangement with you to come on back this week, one of these mornings when we work that out best, to have you fill in the really interesting detail that goes along with all of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wonderful. I think it's better.
We have also an announcement that, tomorrow morning we're going to have a couple people come in. We're going to have Peter Stortz, who's coming in to talk about his visit to Mongolia. And he was recently there, and he works for the Cooperative Extension Office. And also tonight at 7 p.m., he'll be talking about that same topic at some greater length on the second floor of the Kozlowski Building at the Center for Acupuncture. So that's just a public discussion of what he found when he went to Mongolia, and we'll follow up with tomorrow's interview. And we'll also have tomorrow Paul Morley, who come in right after Peter, to deal with educational issues. And then there's more, yes, because on Friday, to follow up, we have the Economic Development Director from the Borough, Don Dyer, who will be in at 8 a.m., and so I think it'll be interesting. In fact, that might be a good day for you to come back.
We'll see if I'm still standing.
Right. There you go. Yes.
I may
yes.
need the weekend just to recover.
Okay.